Wedding professionals, if you need new brand messaging, a new homepage of your website, new marketing materials to get on the preferred venue vendor list, a holy grail list, nonstop leads, and a sales presentation with strategized pricing to get your clients to a heck yes, I am your girl. Go on my IG and DM me the word demo. I will send you a 20-minute training. So today, my friend Melissa with Creative Aim is in the house. She is the best of the best in the event branded signage category. Please go check out her Instagram right now and you won't stop scrolling. Today, we talk about how to stay true to yourself. Enjoy this episode. Welcome to Get a Heck Yes with Carissa Wu. I'm your host, Carissa, and I've been a Los Angeles wedding photographer for over a decade. I've traveled the world, built my team, and seen it all. I now coach wedding photographers hit 10K a month and build a thriving business. In this podcast, we are going to deep dive into how top wedding creatives get that heck yes from their dream clients. We are not holding back on the struggles of the business and how to push through the noise. Some healthy hustle, mindset shifts, up-leveling your money story, time hacks because I'm a mom of two, a little bit of woo-woo, and most importantly, self-love and confidence are just a few of the many things we will talk about. I want to give you a genuine thank you for following along my journey. I hope to inspire you every Woo Wednesdays so that you say heck yes to listening to this podcast. See you guys soon. Hey everyone, welcome back to Get a Heck Yes with me, your girl, Carissa Wu. I haven't podcast for a long time, so I'm feeling super fresh and super excited to talk to my friend, Melissa Durongfat. She's from Creative Aim, and she does custom laser cut vinyls, engraved pieces for a cause. Every purchase goes to Meals for Kids, and she is a husband and wife duo who've left their careers to pursue their dreams, and they named their business after their daughter, Emma. Welcome, Melissa.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yay. Oh my gosh. So is this your first podcast?
It is my first podcast, so that's why I'm like, oh, nervous. Hopefully I'm answering the questions right.
No, I'm so excited for you to have you. I've been asking you to come on for about a year. We know each other just through working together, but you've kind of been the it girl of these custom laser vinyl, creating these beautiful, lavish, amazing creative parties. I'm sure a lot of people have been following you for many years. But first question, I guess, would just tell us a little bit about yourself. You could even talk about like way back in the day, like young Melissa.
So we're starting back to when I was born, right?
way back in the time.
Well, I was born to Thai parents. My mom didn't have time to take care of me because she was studying for the RN boards, nursing boards. So I had a nanny, Hispanic nanny, who was a husband and wife, but they actually took care of me since I was 3 months. I call them mom and dad, and Spanish was my first language.
Wow.
Spanish was my first language, then Thai, and then English. So I actually took ESL for quite a long time. And so that's why a lot of people have to check my spelling when I mock up their stuff. that's like one of my things is the spelling, but I can make your designs great, but the spelling.
Yeah, beautiful. I'm typo queen, so I get you. And I'm from here. Wait, were you born here?
I was born here. Yeah.
Okay. What city?
I was born in Huntington Park. And lived in Linwood for a few years, and then we moved to Cerritos when they wanted me to start, kindergarten and elementary school. So we moved to Cerritos, and then, been there all my life until I married Tan, and we moved to La Palma, which is like basically the next city, and then now Brea.
Nice. Okay, tell me what did your parents do again, and then what was it like being raised by a nanny?
My mom was a registered nurse, so she didn't really have that much time taking care of us because she was just busy nursing. And my dad kind of like had his own business kind of thing. It was amazing growing up with my Mexican mom and dad because they treated me like their own. So I was like the little chinita that they would tell everybody, like, oh, that's our daughter. And Yeah, they were really amazing. I truly call them my mom and dad. I still talk to them to this day. They live in Mexico and Guadalajara now, but I still talk to my mom and dad. And it was great. I mean, I grew up learning about the Mexican culture, going to church, even though I'm not Catholic. Uh-huh. I don't practice the Catholicism or anything, but I went to church with them. Went to Mexico in kindergarten. I think it was kindergarten. Like, I was 5 years old. And my mom had to sign, like, a paper to say that, like, it was okay for me to go with them. Like, who in this day and age would do that? Like, their child will never come back.
Totally.
But, yeah, my mom totally let them take me with them to Mexico. And they took me to Ensenada. I met my grandpa, my Mexican grandpa there.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was amazing. Of course, I had like motion sickness because it was like all driving. So I threw up the whole time, the whole way. But yeah, it was great. It was like learning the culture. And I feel like I'm more Mexican than Thai for sure.
Interesting. I never heard such an intimate nanny story. How long were they there with you, like nannying you? To what age?
Till probably 11.
Wow.
My mom would take me there all the time till I was about 11. And even so, like, I would still stay with them and visit them during high school and whatnot too.
Aw, I love that. What is like the biggest lesson that you learned from your nanny parents and your real parents, and how do they like compare and contrast?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know. With my nanny parents, for sure, like, family is everything. They're whoever is your parents, you just need to like love them no matter what. Even if they didn't take care of you, like, personally, you know?
Yeah.
That's the one thing that I learned the most from my Mexican mom. And even though she was the one that took care of me, like, I still needed to like love and respect my mom. Biological mom. Yeah. My mom that lives with me now.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then from my mom, honestly, I feel like I learned how to be independent and like fight for myself and survive. From my biological mom. She wasn't here very often, you know, like, she was mostly like working like triple jobs at a time. Just like being able to like survive without her and learning how to fend for myself and take care of myself, I think is what I learned from my mom, my Thai mom.
Oh, that's so beautiful. My mom was always working too in sales. So we were raised by more like my grandparents. So
I think that's what it is, right? Like, the generation, our parent generation, they worked so much. And then now we are trying to like break that generational habit by being there for our kids.
Yeah, seriously. And then talking to me and you, we're both workaholics. Okay, so tell me about like college, and I know you're a nurse, and what got you into that? Probably like inspiration from your biological mom, but walk me through that a little bit.
Well, I actually went to Cal State Fullerton, and I thought I wanted to go into psychology. So I graduated with an undergrad in psychology, and I took a little bit longer than most people because I didn't know what I wanted to do the first 2 years. And I graduated with psychology. Then I went straight to nursing because I like needed a job right away. So I got into nursing, did that for like 2-3 years, and then the prerequisites, and then nursing was 2 years. And then after that, I went to go work at Harbor UCLA by your house for like a year and a half, like almost 2 years in the pediatric ER. And during that time, I was also taking my master's. I was getting my master's in nursing and education. And then I moved to General Hospital in LA and worked in the adult ER there too, which I hated because I was a pediatric ER nurse, you know, a kid's nurse. So I was how am I going to deal with these adults?
Yeah.
They're so different from kids. So it was a little hard. It was a hard transition for me. But they put me in the pediatric ER after I told them, okay, I'm going to go back because this is not working out for me. So they put me, they're like, no, stay. So then they just put me in the pediatric ER. And then after I had Emma, that's when I was like, I got to get out of here. Cause it was just so hard working with kids and seeing how, you know, there were kids dying. There were kids like,
wow,
just sick and stuff. So it was like taking a toll on me. So then I went to, case management and, worked there for 3 years. And this is when I started Creative Aim. So in 2017, I started Creative Aim while working in case management at the same time. And then, then the rest was history. Creative Aim became, you know, like really was, you know, like it grew. So I didn't really need the nursing aspect anymore. I still have it as my backup, my plan B, because I still have my license. I just renewed it. And I still have it no matter what. So just in case, like, you know, anything happens. But
yeah. Okay. Let's get into it. Okay. So I'll try to paint the picture for the listeners. Okay. I could be wrong, but I feel like you started when it was like the boom of the amazing, crazy birthday parties.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like they didn't have that before, but I'm sure everyone knows they have Pinterest, they have Instagram, but these extremely like lavish birthday parties with like the laser cut vinyls like you do and like the balloons and the crazy setups and the crazy themes and all the vendors, like 10 vendors on board and, you know, getting it published. That was like the start of it. Walk me through like that process and maybe like how it came about, like what was like your inspiration or how did you like take the leap to like just start your own?
Honestly, like, it was like by chance, because we didn't start Creative Aim because we wanted to like do all that. It was because Tan said I needed a hobby because I was like nagging at him the whole time. Because
that's right.
Yeah, I was like nagging at him, like, when are you going to find a job or something, you know, because he just got out of the military. So he said, you need a hobby. And so I told him, okay, then – like, let's try this, this, and this. Like, I had to go through like 4 different hobbies to like actually figure out like which one was good for me. So he bought me calligraphy stuff to learn calligraphy. He, I think like sewing kit to learn sewing and all that stuff. And then, but we landed on laser cutting because like I did the design and he cuts, and little did he know he was the one that had to like to start this company too. So, and then like you said, it started booming. Like people were doing the dolls, you know, like the lavish first birthdays. And then, we started doing like the names for the backdrops, and we just got into it. And, Instagram was what helped us. So I networked with so many people and spoke to so many people on Instagram and connected with so many people. So that's how we were able to just, you know, get like got big. Somehow.
That's kind of cute how your husband Tan was like, you need a hobby. He's like,
I
can't hang out with you that much.
I like just had a baby and I was still a nurse. And then I was like, I need a hobby.
That's so funny. I love how he like pushed you to do something big. Okay. Yeah. Just thinking about me and you, our relationship. I shot like your kid's birthday. But I was very impressed by your networking skills because I actually started way before you, and I actually didn't know how to network for the longest time. Like, I didn't know about collaboration or community over collaboration or competition. But then when you started networking with like venues and vendors, and then you guys started like doing everything together and referring each other. I was so behind on that. Like, I didn't even know that was a thing. But walk me through how you kind of started collabing, reaching out to people, because I know it's not easy in the beginning. So what was like your mindset behind that?
I don't know. I just saw so many people like doing like beautiful things. And I was like, I want to be part of that. Mm. I want to be part of those like beautiful like setups, you know? And then, so I've like met so many people like Stay Golden, Michelle Rogers, One Social Design. Like they did so many like amazing like setups and beautiful setups that I actually loved. And I was like, can I do this with you? Can I be part of it? You know, because I also needed content, you know? So I was like, I'm like the worst photographer ever. So like, yeah, even with like my iPhone, I'm still like, I'm the worst. So I needed photos. So I was like, can I do this with you? So I was like piggybacking on everybody. Like, can I do this event with you? Can you use me? Like, so yeah, like they used me and we did collaborations. They knew other people. Because it's usually the planners, you know, the planners are the real MVPs. They're the ones that know everybody because they have to like put everything together, you know, so they know the florists, they know like people who cater, they know the like the signage people, they know the balloon people. So because of the, yeah, like those are the people that I networked with was like the planners. And then they introduced me to all these other people, the different like in people in the industry. And that's just how we rolled.
Wow. Yeah. That's a great story. I guess this is kind of a dumb question, but walk me through a little bit about like custom laser cut vinyl. Like, is the learning process, is there a big learning curve, or is it just kind of like you just go with it? And did you have to get like new machinery along the way? And I'm sure it's a big investment as well. Pardon this short interruption, but guess what? I have a new program. It's for all wedding professionals. It's called the Triple Threat. We redo your brand messaging, the homepage of your website. Part two is we do all your marketing. We create a beautiful brochure so you could start getting on preferred venue vendor lists. And we do all your sales. So we actually make you a sales presentation leading your client to the heck yes so you get paid. I have a free 20-minute demo training. It's only 20 minutes. Go to my Instagram at Carissa Wu and DM me the word demo. I will send it right over. It's how to get 10 to 15 quality leads in your inbox per month. Enjoy, guys.
Carissa Wu is a LA-based wedding photographer who's actually turning business coach. She helped me grow and change, and I'm so proud to call you coach.
Tell us how you're feeling. Like, I want to just know a little bit more about your thoughts.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and you're awesome. It's beautiful. I'm speechless.
I just like the fact that it feels like myself. Like, I feel myself when I see this.
Oh man, well, you got me pumped and excited for this, Carissa. Thank you.
Oh yeah, we definitely had to, the more we grew, the more we had to get new machines, definitely. And learning curve, like, no, I mean, as long as like, you love crafting and making designs and cutting and doing everything yourself, then yeah, you can totally do it. Like, I think anybody can do it. It's just a matter of like your craft and learning how to shine on your own. And you know, because like I think like nowadays it's like booming. Like it's so how do you say that? Like there's so many people in the laser cut industry now that you can just go to anybody for like a cheaper price, you know. But it's kind of like you have to learn your own craft. Like you need to know your own style, your own design, your own thing, instead of like copying other people or taking other people's like ideas and designs. So yeah, it's like the learning curve is not that bad. It's just like a matter of like putting the time and effort in it and also learning how to make it your own.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so clueless, honestly. Like, what is it? Is it, like Photoshop, or how do you learn how to design?
I did not know how to use, it's actually Adobe. A lot of people, designers use Adobe. I know a lot of people nowadays use Canva, but, I'm not trying to like, you know, downplay like people who use Canva or anything, but like Canva, you could just like pick a template and then you have your design, but on Adobe it's like from scratch. So you do everything from scratch. Adobe Illustrator. Yeah. I actually started off on Microsoft Word.
Nice. So
I use Microsoft Word for all my designs at first, and it's really difficult to use Microsoft Word if you're trying to design things, because it's just like a Word document thing. So
yeah,
it wasn't until maybe like a year or two after we were in Creative Aim that I started focusing more on Adobe Illustrator. But yeah, I just kind of taught myself on YouTube, through YouTube. I'm self-taught. So it was all through YouTube, IG, a lot of IG, like, you know how they always teach on IG. So it was mostly like all the self-taught stuff.
Wow. Yeah. I'm so clueless. I know if you're anything like me, you're going to want to, if you're not, you know, if you're driving, if you're stopped, go on your Instagram right now, Creative Aim. So AMME, go check out her work. It's freaking crazy. That's why I've been dying for you to come on this podcast. But how would you describe your style?
Probably whimsy, pretty, sparkly, glittery. That's like pink.
Yeah.
That's like my whole vibe is like, I love pink. I love glitter. I love iridescent. That's who I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And whimsy, ethereal. Yeah, that's my style. Oh, and watercolor. Mm. I love everything watercolor. So if I can add watercolor to any of my designs, I would, that's what I do like 24/7 if I could.
Wow.
If the client would let me do watercolor everything, I would do that.
I love watercolor. How would you describe like the parties that you do, the events that you do? And I guess, what does your business look like today?
Oh my gosh. We've grown so much from doing little parties to big extravagant parties to like corporate company parties now that we work a lot with like name brands now, like Casamigos, Stony Clover, Tarte. So yeah, like we get to be part of their amazing events. But I do miss like doing, you know, like the little parties too, because then you kind of start off from scratch. Like you don't know what you're going to do, you know, like versus like the brands, they have their logos, they have their set artwork already versus like the parties. Like is it going to be a blue theme or is it going to be like a Luca theme?
Yeah.
yeah. Or like, what was it? Or LOL doll theme. Like,
yeah.
Like you don't know what kind of party you're going to get. And then you just start from scratch. So I think that's like the fun part that I miss is that like, I can like design from scratch and put colors together and, kind of make it like my style. Cause you know, nobody loves an LOL theme, like the basic polka dot in pink. Yeah. No offense to all LOL lovers, but
LOL is banned at our house.
So like I had a client this past weekend that, wanted an LOL theme and I could not for the life of me, make it like, you know, the polka dot black and hot pink. And I was like, I can't do it. So I made it with like the pastels and like watercolor. I was like, can we do it this way? And then like, luckily the client loved it. So we're rolling with that.
Oh, I love that. Oh my God. Okay. One more question before Hot Topic, but what is like your best heck yes technique or anything heck yes related?
I think that like the heck yes from our clients is because, like the design work, we are original. Like we don't copy other people's work. We start from scratch and take the client's like words of what they want and build from there. And I think that's kind of what's important, you know, like listening to your client to see what they want. And, but also putting a part of myself and my craft into it to give them the heck yes. And I think that's what clients love. Well, our clientele anyway.
Yeah, I feel like when people just copy everyone else, like the Boho Studio or the Dark and Moody, and everyone's just starting to look the same, it's actually harder to book clients overall. I think you have to kind of stand true to who you are. And I tell you, and I told the audience today, like, I feel like you're in a league of your own. You're telling me there's competitors, but I have no idea because I see your work and it really shined and it really stands out. So no one else would be like in my viewpoint, my window. So whatever you said, that was spot on. But let's get into it. What is your hot topic today and why is it so near and dear to your heart?
Oh, the hot topic. The hot topic for me is just stay true to yourself. Stay true to yourself and don't copy other people. Just, you know, stay true to yourself and own your own work and figure out what is it that makes it you.
Yeah, let's dive a little bit deep into that. So I guess the first question would be, who, maybe describe like who you are versus like other people. I know like the design is different, it's unique. What are other differentiators to your business?
I don't know. I think it's also because I'm not scared to use like different materials. Like I love to think outside the box and like, how can I make this unique? How can I make this different from everybody else? Like, those listeners, if you guys go onto my Instagram, I think the first post that I have on there is pinned, and it was like a Barbie invitation where I actually had it filled with water. So each person had an invitation with water, and when they got it, they were like, oh my God, this is so cool, because it's a pool and there's water in there with like a 3D stairs on there. So I think, I love to think outside the box and see how I can be innovative and different from other people.
Oh, so interesting. And I feel like probably as your business evolves and you have more years under your belt, you just get like more creative and start thinking of different things to keep, you know, yourself motivated as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Since the topic is how to stay true to yourself, I know it's a little bit hard in the beginning to actually know who you are. Do you have any tips and tricks to find out who you really are in the beginning?
Oh, that's hard. I mean, because it was hard for me in the beginning as well. You know, like I wasn't sure. I didn't have a style. I just kind of like did what everybody else did also, you know. So, but I think it was a stop comparing myself to everybody else that made me kind of stay in my own lane and figure out what I wanted to do and what represented me. So I definitely stopped scrolling and comparing myself. And the inspiration that I drew from was mostly like just like ethereal pictures, like a lot of ethereal pictures and photos. I look at a lot of architecture. Mostly a lot of other designers, but designers that are in like different industries, like the architectural industries. I know there was like Hot Pink Pineapples. She's actually, she's an artist. You could say that she's an artist, but she does mostly like home DIYs and stuff like that. And in the beginning, I definitely drew from her, like I drew inspiration from her, and she would do things like she would make like things for her house. And I was like, I could do that into a sign, you know? And so I drew a lot of things from architectural designers and stuff like that. And just stuck with that. And the rest has been history. Cause when you start like comparing yourself to other people, it's like you get stuck in this hole and it's like, it gets really hard for you to like get out of it. So that's why I try to like not even scroll through Instagram like that anymore.
Crazy. Yeah. I feel the same way. I would start scrolling and I would actually get confused. I'm like, oh shoot, like, is mine not good enough? It's better to just kind of like have your vision, stick with it, and then get creative on your own terms. Let's talk about taking the plunge to go full time and even bringing your hubby along, which is a really cool story. But I think when me and you went to, was it Curate? What was the workshop that we went to together?
Oh, Create Cultivate.
Yeah, Create Cultivate. Mm-hmm. I think you were still working then.
I think so.
Yeah. So what made you take the plunge to just go full time? Because that's pretty risky to leave a really good job and then bringing your hubby along.
Oh, yeah. Well, Ted has always been there from the get-go. He was, because I didn't know how to manage the laser machine, because he does all the production. I just do the designs and like the social media and talking to the clients. It was hard. I actually took me 2 years to finally take the plunge and take Creative Aim full time, because, you know, I worked for the government, or I worked for the county, And there's nothing that beats their insurance, their pension, or none of that. Like, so I had to think about those things for my family as well, you know, because I was like, what are we going to do about insurance? What are we going to do about this and that, you know, like, and it was like a constant paycheck. So it was really hard for me. So, yeah, like I said, it took 2 years. I think I took like medical leave from there because I was still getting paid, you know, but I was on medical leave so I could focus on Creative Aim. And I was like, okay, I got to go back to work because it was like, I think it was like 7 months or something. I was like after Emery was born or something. And then I went back to work and I was like, oh no, I can't do this. I'm going to quit. So I was like, but I couldn't quit. So then I was like, I took another medical leave. After I was working for like a whole month or 3 months or something. And then I went back on medical leave. And then, you know, like the industry is always like up and down, you know? So then when I was like, when it was down, that's when I was like, oh, I got to go back to work again. And then the last straw was when like they were asking way too much of me because yeah. Like, you know, like, you know how like those things where the, like the good ones, like always get do the most and the lazy ones don't. They don't do anything.
Exactly.
And like the good ones take their work. So that was me. Like I would take other people's work too. So I was like, okay, I had enough. Like I'm just going to focus on Creative Aim and I quit. I was like, no.
Wow.
Yeah. I think if it was treated better, then maybe I would have still stayed. But I think it's because of like the respect and the way we were just like a number in the nursing, nursing career that I was just kind of like, you know what, my life and quality of life was more important than like how they treated me. So I was like, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah. Did you feel like your business like really exploded more after you quit and put all your effort into your business? Kind of walk me through that.
I'm excited to share with you all about our first Get a Heck Yes sponsor, 17 Hats. I've been using this CRM company for over a decade and I've been referring them to all my frienders for all this time. I always know when I'm going to get paid and most importantly, I get paid. So here is a question. What is holding you back? What's keeping you from finding success as a small business person? It's not passion. The fact that you're listening to my podcast shows that you're eager to learn and get better. Know what holds you back is all the chaos of business, paperwork, mailed invoices, and no systems to handle it all. That's where 17 Hats comes in. 17 Hats is a better way to manage your small business. It's an all-in-one platform that streamlines everything from lead capture to client communication to click and you're done automated invoices. 17 Hats paves the way for success you deserve by giving you back hours in your day. Find what success looks like for you with 17 Hats. Get started for free at 17hats.com and use my code HECKYES and it's gonna give you guys 50% off your first annual membership. How amazing is that? Back to the show.
Yes, oh my gosh. So initially we were working out of our garage for I think 3 or 4 years and then we finally decided to get a warehouse. I think like 2 years ago, it's actually been not very long, like 2-3 years ago. But only because like I've had so many friends who do the same thing and their house burned down or like their little shed that they were working in burned down.
Yeah.
And like, you know, insurance doesn't cover that. So that totally freaked me out. I was like, we got to get a space. I don't care. We got to get a space or whatever, you know? So then, as soon as we got the space, like I felt like, Creative Aim blew up like instantly. And then to answer your question, like as soon as I quit nursing, we've been like the busiest that we've ever been. It's true, you know, like when you let go of one thing, something else is going to like carry you. And
yes.
It was probably the best thing that happened to us.
Oh, that's amazing. Let's talk about sales a little bit. I know you said Tan, your hubby, he does like he actually makes it and you're like the designer. Mm-hmm. Walk me through like your sales hat. Like, are you, is it only networking and your relationships, or do you actually like reach out to people, or how did you get your foot into these corporations and big, larger events? I'm very curious.
I think it was just like network and just through Instagram. I know that with Stone and Clover, that was kind of like through networking of some sort, because they had just opened their store in Newport, and we did a menu for Pacific Organic Pops. That's one of our girlfriend's stores. And I made a sign for them, and then I DM'd them because they retagged us. And I was like, oh my gosh, I would love to like do like all the acrylic signs for you. And they're like, yes, we loved it so much. And then, yeah, they started reaching out to us and then asked for our partnership. And we're like, heck yes. Wow. You know, and that's how it all started. It was through Stony Clover, and the rest was history. Like, we just got more and more branded clients. Like, I don't know that necessarily if it was from Stony Clover, but I know that for Casamigos, they somehow found us through Instagram. I think after I did Kim Kardashian's Chicago's party, was when Casamigos, that's how Casamigos found us. Oh. Yeah, a lot of the parties is through word of mouth, like, or sorry, not parties, clients are through like word of mouth and stuff.
Wow. So do you even like blog or like pin? It's all through Instagram?
Yeah. Oh, which is upsetting right now because my Instagram isn't working. Yeah. Like, I can do it through the website, but I still can't like repost anybody's posts or stories. So I'm trying to do this right now. I don't know. I think it happened ever since there was a Meta shutdown, or when the Meta wasn't working like 3 weeks ago, and hasn't been working ever since then. So,
oh, crazy. Yeah. Mine's super glitchy too. So I can't follow anyone.
Oh yeah. See, it's so strange.
And I know. I feel bad. I'm like, I swear, like I want to follow you, but I can't.
Yeah. I can't repost anyone's stories. I can just like and comment and add people, but that's about it. I can't repost anything actually. Unless I like save it to my phone and then upload it.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's so annoying. Yeah, okay. So before you, that Instagram was working. What's like your mindset with Instagram? Is it like reels based? Do you have any tips and tricks for the listeners, or is it just posting pretty pictures and tagging everyone?
Yeah. I would just say like posting pretty pictures. Definitely the carousels, doing like, you know, the multiple pictures and, tagging everyone, hoping that the other people will like repost your stuff. And reels. Yeah. I heard that reels, like, especially if you're going to be teaching, reels is the best thing, to do and grow your Instagram, because, everybody wants to learn. And that's what I've noticed, realized too, now that we're talking about it, is because like a lot of my reels have not been doing great. But the best one that did so amazingly well was the one that I was actually teaching people how to make the fringe. And I think it's like the teaching that everybody wants. I mean, that's why people love TikTok, because they go on there to learn stuff too. So, I think it's the learning from reels that will make your brand grow.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So any final question or final tips and tricks about staying true to yourself before we go into rapid fire questions?
just stay true to yourself. Own your work and don't let the outside noise like mess with you. Just focus on your own stuff. Stay in your lane, focus on your own stuff and build that creativity.
I love it. Okay. Rapid fire questions. Favorite tip and trick for working with your spouse?
Oh my God, there's none.
You're just meant to be.
There is none. I mean, you're always going to fight. You're together 24/7. So you're always going to fight. Just don't take it personal.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good mantra for life. Don't take things personal. Yeah. I think it was like one of the four agreements of business. What is your favorite, your mom of two, your favorite boss mom hack or time hack?
Time hack, do everything before the kids come back from school. So I try to do all my work from like 8 to 1. And then again, back in the day, I would do everything at night. So I would stay up till like midnight just to like finish all my work because at the time Emma and Emery were still little. So I would do it when they would go to sleep or they're napping. Yeah. So just do it when they're not here or else you're not going to get the time to do it.
Yeah. You got to be present. Mm-hmm. And let's see if you, coachy question, if you had a magic wand, where would you see your business in 3 months, 90 days?
Oh my gosh. If I had a magic wand, I would be like opening like another location that like in the South Bay or something. Actually, the South Bay is where I wanted to like make another office, but that would be like my wish.
Oh yeah. Closer to me. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. And then I guess last question, speak to any wedding professionals that feel like they're struggling to just get leads or to make their business happen. Like, speak to their hearts. What would you tell them to inspire them today just to get off their butts and make their business pop in and be the go-to vendor?
I would just tell you to don't give up. I didn't give up. There's so many people that will give up after like, you know, five times of not getting clients. But honestly, there's so many people in this world, like, don't give up. Do it 10 times. Do it 20 times. You're going to get it. You're going to get whatever client you want, your dream client. Just do it. Don't, or else you're going to regret it if you don't do it. So just do it. That's basically it.
Yes, I've failed a thousand million times in the coaching business. So, but I always tell people I'll never, ever give up. So well said, Melissa. It was great having you on. Where can everyone find you? And you have a little generous offer for our Heck Yes listeners.
Yeah, I definitely do. So, you know, if you want to get something from us through our website, you can definitely use Carissa's code. Carissa, what did I put on there?
You put
Carissa 20?
Carissa 15.
Oh, okay. Let's just change it to 20.
Yeah.
Carissa 20. So use Carissa 20, yeah, too. On our website, if you want anything, gift cards or even to order like stir sticks or cake toppers or whatever you want. Or just if you have a personal order, just send us an email.
Yay. This is great. And then Instagram handle?
Creative Aim. AMME.
Yay. Thank you, Melissa. This is great. You did a great job.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This is like my first podcast. So I'm like,
You did great.
Thanks for joining me this week on Get a Heck Yes with Carissa Wu. Make sure to follow, subscribe, leave a review, or tell a friend about the show. Take a screenshot and post to IG. Tag me. Also, don't forget to download my free guide on how to become a lead generating machine. See you next time, wedding pros.